whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Hope that you are either driving extraordinarily safely or able to listen or watch us from home today. Definitely a wild one out there in the DMV. Anthony's actually still dressed as if he's outside. Are you gonna take your beanie off and your big heavy coat off and stay a while there, pal? Or are you gonna, you just ready to jet in case we get a go home early signal or something?
Check in with me in about 30 minutes when you conclude first and 10.
Okay. First and 10 is kind of a long segment. It's not that long though, but, it is the thing that we do off the top of the show. And, I think we should just get to that and then we'll see if Anthony's actually going to stay for the rest of the show.
It's time to get the breakdown started. One, two, three, three. First up, 10 observations.
Stuck it high and just boom, put it right on the ground.
It's first and 10.
All right, Anthony, let's go ahead and hit number one.
I don't have number one.
Number one. Hey, playoffs. Yeah. 12 wins. Yeah. What a finish. Yeah. Marcus Mariota, who came into this game in the start of the second half and just was damn near perfect for two straight drives. I mean, even the incompletion he has where he throws the ball back across his body to John Bates, that's an unbelievable play by Malik Hooker. And Marcus could not have hit a magical pause button, run down the field, and placed it any better in John Bates' arms. It's just a big hit by Hooker, who kind of, like, I don't know why Hooker's even thinking that that throw is possible. That's an impossible throw that Marcus made back across his body, back across the field, and he's there to make a hit. He was awesome. He had about a 6 or 7 play sequence there at the start of the fourth quarter. There's a little bit left to be desired, but he's human. He's, you know, I don't expect any quarterback to be perfect. Nevertheless, your backup. But, man, he was really good. And then he closes out that drive really strong. The throw to Terry is fantastic. Commanders win. Love this. Love this so much. And I love this so much for Marcus because I think coming out of the Netflix series Quarterback, people thought that he quit on the Falcons. And I don't know that that was entirely true. And to the extent that it was true, it was the best thing for him to do so because he really needed to go find himself and he needed to deal with some stuff as a human being. And Sam Fortier wrote about this last week in the Post, and lucky for Sam, it becomes even more relevant this week. But Marcus had a lot of anxiety and a lot of pressure that he put on himself because he wanted to be perfect all the time. And he worked with different professionals, mental health professionals and coaches and all different kinds of resources to understand how to deal with that. And now he is primed to play the best football of his career every chance that he gets, even if he probably will be a backup for the rest of his career. But the 7 quarters that he has played this year, the 3 halves that he has played this year have been just excellent. And it's one thing to do it against the Carolina Panthers. It's another to do it when your playoff seeding is on the line in week 17 against the Dallas Cowboys, your bitter rival, the whole deal. And so good for Marcus Mariota. With that said,
number 2.
This Jaden Daniels thing does not pass the smell test. And it's not, I'm hoping it doesn't pass the smell test because Dan Quinn is being coy, or at least trying to be, and it's still not that big of a deal. But let's, for a second, just take at face value the story that we are being told. Jaden did not have a good first half yesterday. In some ways, I was more encouraged after watching it back on tape because outside of the first series that we'll get to in a second, like, he actually saw the field pretty well. He just missed a bunch of throws, which was bizarre. He just wasn't sharp in the way that he wasn't sharp earlier in the year against teams like Pittsburgh. And once they kind of got into that practice window where they weren't practicing enough, and I wonder with Christmas last week and New Year's this week and being late in the year, maybe they've taken back some of their practice volume and Jaden is just not getting the reps that he needs to be as sharp. And that's something that as he gets more and more reps over the course of his life and his career, you know, that won't be as much of an issue. He'll just be a sharper quarterback at all times, as opposed to, you know, whatever the routine is that he needs. And maybe they'll also, I would assume, practice fully this week to be ready for the playoffs. So there's a lot of stuff that has to happen, from injury management, load management. You know, they got so many dudes hurt that, like, that affects your ability to practice. So there's a lot of stuff. But on its face value, Dan Quinn last night said, hey, we took him out because of leg soreness, and we wanted someone that had a little bit more mobility. And then my question that nobody asked last night, and John Keim asked as a follow-up in the first question today in the press conference, was essentially, if this wasn't week 18, with the playoff situation being what it was, that you have already clinched a spot, would you have made the same decision? And this is what Dan Quinn said.
I think so. I think you have to depend on the game first, John, to say, you know, what's required for that game to go to win it. And I thought Dallas was really upfield. They're playing aggressive. This would be one that we have to get outside the pocket a lot. So that's why I decided. But I didn't really go into that space of, like, either or.
So the answer, in short, was yes. If this was any other week, I would have made the same decision. Which, again, I'm just stating the facts here. I'm not trying to start something. I'm doing my job. I'm asking questions. I'm giving opinions. And I'm trying to provide as much context as possible. Because I promise where I'm going to land with this is not like some conspiracy theory, wackadoo, there's a problem here. What we're being sold doesn't pass the smell test. Because what we're being sold is Dan Quinn would bench his franchise number two rookie of the year quarterback because he wanted someone with more mobility. When that someone that you're benching, that franchise quarterback, is Jaden Daniels, that doesn't make any sense. And I know you might be going, well, like, did you watch the game? You saw him get sacked. I did. Not only did I watch the game, I watched the L-22 back this morning. And guess what? Jaden's legs were working just fine. He had a 16-yard scramble on a third down where he saw man coverage, was able to get out. He had there's another play where it's a zone read and he makes the wrong read. He should have given it to B-Rob, and instead he holds it and he goes to pull it, and then he realizes he's made a huge mistake, and he's able to process that so quickly, and he's so quick with his legs that he is able to basically follow B-Rob through the hole and turn what should be a minus five into like a plus five. It's a pretty special play. There's a couple other times where he is able to get outside the pocket. Maybe he doesn't get the edge. There's the one silly sack at the beginning of the game on third down where he steps out of bounds for a minus four. It's just a dumb thing to do. Just throw the ball away. But fine. His legs seemed fine. Now, if he went to Dan and said, hey, man, my legs don't feel right, Dan has every right in the world. And 100%, not only every right, he should pull Jaden. Hey, you don't feel right the week before the playoffs? All right, dude. Or frankly, it's week 7. You don't feel right? Okay. But like, let's think about who Jaden Daniels is as a competitor. This dude wanted to go back in a preseason game earlier in the summer because of how competitive he is. You think he's just being told, like, hey, man, we're going to pull you here. Let Marcus play. Like, there's more to this, and I'm hoping the more to this is Dan doesn't want to give up the facade that they were going all out in this game, because that's not who they want to be as competitors. And even though he is internally making the right decisions, his messaging outwardly is just very simply, hey, we're going to do what we think is best all the time. Doesn't matter. We don't play games. I thought Marcus was better for that because of something I saw with Jaden, and so I went with Marcus, and we were trying to win. And if that's the case, okay, I got no real problem with it. I hope that it's not, that this leg thing is more than just a light, mild leg soreness. And when Nikki Javala asked Dan that directly today, he said, like, I'm not worried about this long term. I got nothing to worry about, and it's fairly short and curt. So again, hopefully he's telling the truth. But to say, hey, I have a franchise quarterback that is one bad half away from being benched, that doesn't make any damn sense. We've seen Jaden turn games around this year. Jaden has constantly been cited as the reason why they have these moments where, oh, if we got five, we got a chance. And that guy can play a bad half and look not 100% of himself in the last game of the season and be benched? That doesn't make any sense. And so, again, I probably won't be talking about this too much more the rest of the week because the playoffs are coming. There's bigger fish to fry. And unless there's more news that comes out, we're just going to assume that this is some weird messaging and whatever. But I cannot, in good conscience, just push this under the bridge and pretend like we're not sitting here. I just feel like our intelligence is being insulted. That doesn't make any sense. And so I'm saying it out loud. The comments and the calls, be what they be. People can speculate however they want. Ultimately, in the building, as long as they're all on the same page and they feel like they can go forward together, then that's all that matters. I think it's actually a testament to Jaden Daniels of how well he seemed to handle it, and that is really important as well, because he could have certainly thrown a hissy fit and been like, no, it's my game. I'm not being benched. Like, screw you. And, like, we could have a mutiny. We didn't. And I think that is actually maybe the most important takeaway, is that Dan made a decision. To whatever extent Jaden was involved in the decision, we'll probably never know. But Dan made a decision. Jaden respected it. And not only did he respect it, he's out there being Marcus's biggest fan. That speaks so well to who Jaden is as a person. And it speaks well to the trust that Dan has. So a lot of the things here are actually really positive. I just don't love the fact that this – it's not even I don't love it. It's this explanation we're being given doesn't pass the smell test, and I'm not going to pretend like we're all not giving each other the look like, hey, doesn't this thing stink a little bit? And then, God forbid, something else comes out, and we're all like, whoa, never saw that one coming. That said, one more time, we transition with the that said.
Number three.
I kind of love that they won this game without Jaden Daniels in the way that they did. How many times have we heard this year, oh, as long as we got a five, we got a chance? And the thing is, now they can look at each other in the mirror and be like, as long as we got us, we got a chance. And we've talked about with the Lions sometimes of how Dan Campbell loves to say, it doesn't matter who puts on this jersey, we're going to show them who we are. And the fact that that's held true for Detroit speaks so well to their character. It speaks so well to their identity. It is so well established that they can bring someone in, seemingly anybody in, and be like, this is how we do business here. And that person's like, got it. And they go do it. And the fact that without Jaden Daniels to pull the strings, without the magic that he has displayed time and time and time and time and time again, and it does not take away from an ounce of said magic that he has provided this year, the fact that they still went down and did the damn thing, that Terry makes that play at the end, that Marcus finds a way, that he's out there running with Malik Hooker celebrating. He's like, oh, crap, I got to go tackle this 31-year-old quarterback running down for 33 yards on a 4th-and-1. The fact that they just were them and they found a way by hook or by crook, even without five, is kind of fantastic in its own way. And so good on the Commanders for getting that 12th win. Lock up the 6th seed. It obviously, as we know now, wouldn't have mattered because the Packers laid an absolute, we'll call it an egg, but they laid something stinkier than an egg. Talking about things that don't smell very good there against the Bears. But Commanders lock up that 6th seed and their 12th win on the season. When we get back, we'll empty out the notebook with the rest of 1st and 10. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. All right, we talked big stuff off the top of 1st and 10, including the big thing of like, hey, what is really going on? Is there more going on potentially with the Jaden Daniels leg soreness situation? But let's empty out the rest of the notebook now and wrap things up before we get to your calls on a Tell the Truth Monday.
Number four.
The lack of continuity on the offensive line, I think, is really hurting this team, starting in the pass protection. The Biadasz to Dieter drop-off as just pure players is fairly significant, and you see it a couple times in this game where Dieter gets beat quickly. The first third down of the game, Michael Parsons, I mean, look, Michael Dieter can go on a list with basically every offensive lineman that Michael Parsons has lined up one-on-one over ever to say that he lost and lost quickly. Like, Micah's amazing. But, man, that is a quick loss. And there's a reason why they're picking to put him over the center, where if it's against Biotish, perhaps he's over, say, Nick Allegretti, or they find another spot to line him up over. But that is a big drop-off. The communication is just not as good. There are times where the slides are not as clean, or someone seems to be going the wrong way. There's funky timings. There's one play where Marcus has a zone read pull, even where the snap is just – Marcus has to one-hand catch the snap. And so just a lot of stuff there. And I think having a little more depth in the middle next year is going to be a priority on the to-do list for Adam Peters this offseason. I also think that Jaden at times is just not seeing the field as well later in the season. And there's times where he's super on it. The New Orleans game, he was super on it. But on the first series of the game, Cliff gets him – it's a three-play series. And Cliff dials up three easy completions for Jaden. The first one, there's no throw. It seems like Zach Ertz is wide open. The simplest quick game there is. Just like everyone run 5 yards, turn around. And – Zach Ertz is wide open. Jaden's looking at him. For some reason, he doesn't throw it. Pass pro holds up long enough to get the ball out if it's a quick game. And instead, he winds up taking a sack. Second down, they get a nice little out pattern to Ertz against a cover six. O-line does a really good job. They get 11 yards. Sweet. Now we're back to third and three. And you got man coverage. And again, this is the one where super quick loss. I don't know who to put this on. Clearly, like, it's a bad rep for Dieter. But Parsons just smokes him. But Terry wins on a shallow cross immediately, and he's running right in front of Jaden. Now, Jaden might not be able to see it because Parsons is in his face so fast, in which case, if I were to talk to Jaden and Jaden were to be like, yeah, dude, I couldn't see anything. I was just like, oh, crap, 11's coming. I'm dead. Then I'm not going to put that on Jaden. But I do think a more veteran quarterback might be able to see through that, and that's something where when Jaden becomes that more veteran quarterback, it's a potential growth opportunity. So it is just one of those things that when you're breaking down football, you can point there, point there, point there. A lot of different people have a way in every single play, but there are definitely a couple times in this game you're like, dude, just throw the ball. And it seemed like in some ways similar to the first Dallas game, at times he was big play hunting. And that's not definitely when this offense or where he is at his best.
Number five.
The other place that the offensive line is clearly hurting is the running back run game. And I know everyone likes to complain about B-Rob, and I'm not telling you B-Rob is just absolutely crushing it, and I'll get to him more in a moment. But the amount of dirty looks they're getting right now and the amount of – or the lack of movement in the run game is really not good enough. Like, you just have to be able to move the line of scrimmage. One of my favorite things when I'm watching film is when a team gets a run, or I guess it's one of my least favorite things if it happens to Washington, is what looks like a no-gain run where the running back just runs into the back of the offensive line and gets tackled, and then all of a sudden you look up and it was a 4-yard gain. And you're like, oh, the offensive line moved the line of scrimmage that much? Dang. And the Commanders just aren't doing that on any regular basis right now. All of their plus runs are coming when a running back's able to hit a hole and get to the second level. There is very little of the just, hey, we took the line of scrimmage and we moved it down the field. And Eckler had a couple of nice runs where he's able to squeeze through holes because he's super decisive. And that's the thing I would like to see from B-Rob, is it's not even a vision thing. It's a decisiveness thing. Hey, let's not try to wiggle through this hole. It's let's hit it right now and trust that the hole is going to open. And Eckler had a couple of those, including this really nice, like, weak side zone Wanda carry that I was like, ooh, that's what it's supposed to look like. And you get a 7-yard gain when he just shoots through the hole, and next thing you know, he's getting tackled by a safety. And I think Chris Rodriguez does that really well at times, and I'm still not really sure why he can't get more looks. But B-Rob's a starter, and it is what it is.
Number six.
I thought Mark Sanchez made a really astute point yesterday during the broadcast, which is if this defense ever wants to become elite, they have got to start turning the ball over. And they're good at creating opportunities. You have guys in position to make plays. Frankie had another drop last week, which I think I'm obligated to try to bring up as many times as possible last week, because the last time he got hit in the face with the football, we brought it up constantly, and then he got a pick. So we're gonna take credit for that. Frankie, I'm sorry for saying all those things, but we're gonna have to do it again. But he had a drop yesterday, and I think there's a couple other opportunities in the game where, you know, a little bit more decisiveness, a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. You're getting the ball tipped up in the air and it falls to the ground. You just gotta have a better sense for it. And I think one of the guys that has been, you know, around the ball more times this year is Quan Martin. And I think that him being out yesterday really hurt. I think there's a couple of the big plays that Dallas gets, even on the first drive, where I think Quan shuts those down faster. Maybe, you know, Noah Igbinoghene falls down on a crossing route. I think Quan Martin sees that happen and just blitzes that dude and is like, I'm going to pick up this crosser. I think there's another play where I think Quan probably has a faster reaction than Percy Butler. And you got to get around the ball. You can't just rely on, hey, we'll bend but don't break and things will work out in the red zone. Although yesterday, if we could, number seven, please.
Number seven.
Things worked out in the red zone. You cannot play like that against Tampa, though. They are way too good. And I think in the red zone, what you are relying upon as an offense is decisiveness, conviction, and detail. And the Cowboys do not have, in their current state or in their state yesterday, Trey Lance playing in his first game in basically 2 years, meaningful snaps, starting his first game in 2 years. He's not going to be precise. That's not who he is as a player, and he has not had the reps banked to have that down there. And he's not going to be super decisive, and he's not going to throw with conviction. There's no one in the NFL that throws with more conviction than Baker Mayfield. And if there is a window that it might be open, he will drill a ball. And if he sees a guy open, he's going to make sure that ball gets there. And from the lack of detail, the lack of playmakers, where there's no individual brilliance really down there, because the only individual brilliance they have is like long speed, which can't have long speed in a short area. And Lance, like, just missing that fourth down, for instance. That's the red zone defense did a lot of really great things yesterday. Some of the run stuffs they have down there, fantastic. But you're not going to get away with that level at that output against Tampa, nevertheless, Philly or anyone else, Detroit, anyone else you're going to play for the rest of the season.
Number eight.
One thing I really appreciated about the offensive game plan, Kliff had a very concerted effort to get Terry McLaurin involved. And I know it doesn't feel like that in the first half, but there's a bunch of plays that Terry doesn't get the ball because the pass rush gets home, Jaden doesn't see him, something stupid happens elsewhere. But like, it was pretty clear. I was like, oh, I feel like Terry is the target here a lot. And then in the second half, it starts to play out even more, and he ultimately finishes with 12 targets. But it easily could have been 15 or more if the quarterbacks make a few different decisions. And what I appreciate, too, about Kliff and about Marcus and Jaden has been this way at times this year as well, is big moments, man, there's some stuff that could have been a lot easier. But they just, Terry's our guy. Force feed it, and Terry came through. There's a big catch on a dig. There's a big catch on a slant. And they're really tough catches. But he made him because he's Terry freaking McLaurin / scary Terry McLaurin. Boo. Touchdown. Franchise record. Salute. Really, really happy that Terry has that record, especially in this season, because it just feels like it helps tell the story of the season of just how magical he has been.
Number nine.
I still can't believe Alamide Zaccheaus dropped that ball on the reverse pass from Deami Brown. Deami could not have dropped the ball better. I don't know what happened. I know sometimes there's a sun thing down there, but OZ, who's been fantastic and deserves so much credit, looked like he had never caught a deep ball in his life. I made this joke last night on the Take Command Instant Reaction Show that we did with Grant Paulson. But, you know, to talk about like the bread basket, all you got to do is like hold out your basket and let it fall in. It looked like OZ took his basket and like turned it upside down, and then the ball hit the top of the basket, and you're like, the hole's on the other side, bro. Like, you got to flip that. It was bad, but it's a great play. Hopefully it works next time.
Number 10.
All right, I'll say it. Benjamin St. Juice's ability to pick up key penalties in dumb spots is just wild. Pretty good for most of the day yesterday. Played some really good coverage. Sometimes, like, Noah's falling down, giving up big plays. Who's in lockdown coverage on the other side? BSJ. Covering deep stuff. Doing the things he's supposed to do. And then you get in the second half in a tight spot. Penalty, correct call on the hold. The PI is atrocious. Like, that one's tough because if I'm the DB's coach, I'm like, hey, man, do the same thing again. They're not going to call it next time because it's not a penalty. But the thing is, he has a reputation at this point, and I don't know what you do about that. You go somewhere else and get a new number and hope that referees don't recognize you or something, because he gets so many tic-tac calls where I think he plays the ball really well. From a coaching standpoint, I don't know what the coaching point would be different, but he's got to figure out how to play with even less contact. And if that means he gives something up, I guess it means he gives something up, but the penalties are absolutely killer. And he had another couple yesterday, even though by and large, I thought he actually played a pretty good game, but that is the Benjamin St. Juice experience. I would rather opt for the Marshawn Lattimore experience, especially when that is the Marshawn Lattimore versus Mike Evans experience. And there's at best, or at worst, a 50-50 chance that they fight. That's first and 10. Notebook is empty. Now, your turn. Tell the Truth Monday, 301-230-0980. We take your calls next.
It's Tell the Truth Monday on The Hoffman Show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders.
You can't handle the truth!
Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. I'll check the chat in a minute if you want to leave your Tell the Truth Monday comments there. But right now, we're going to start off on the phones at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Let's start off with Tim in D.C. Tim, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, Craig? Long time listener, man. I appreciate your view and your perspective, bro. Let me get to it.
After this game,
I feel like, man, everybody feels like we got a shot. Like how you just said, because if we on the team, it's not just because of five, man. I love the fact that after this win, it always feels like we got something to coach with. We got something to go back to practice with. I just want to know your perspective on that. We always got coaching tips to go with. Thanks for taking my call, man. Anthony, you my man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate that, Tim. Appreciate the call. And I think it's a great point that they do. And I have mixed feelings about it at this point in the season, because I think on one hand, you know, you always want to be looking for improvement. And I think the best coaches, we joke about this being Tell the Truth Monday on our show, which is something that we obviously took from Quinn and what they do out in Ashburn, where they have their Tell the Truth Monday. And I love that concept. It's part of the reason we stole the moniker for this segment, is because when you win, you have to be able to make corrections. When you lose, it's a lot easier. As long as the losses don't just stack and stack and stack and you get tuned out. But as a staff, do you have the ability to focus guys week after week? And I do think that they have been able to do that in certain areas where certain things have gotten better. But, you know, the nature of the NFL is you solve one problem, something else pops up. I think the problem for me is, like, this late in the season, I wish I felt better about the trenches, because I don't know that those things are terribly, like, I don't know that those are coaching issues. I don't know how fixable they are. And I wish the coaches had found some better workarounds that I trusted a little bit more, but they also might just not exist. Like, they might just be understaffed on the offensive line. And I think one of the things I've gotten clarity on, ironically, in the last month, where it is worth mentioning, they've won 5 straight games. So they have figured it out to the extent that they've scored more points than the other team 5 times in a row. And that's the whole point of the sport. But, you know, I think going into this offseason, upgrading left guard and probably, like, finding a better answer at right tackle. If you could guarantee that Wiley was healthy every week, I don't think you have to necessarily prioritize that. But this dude's been battling a ton of injuries over multiple years now, and he's not good enough as a in the pass protection game to be like, oh, it's worth 12 games of Andrew Wiley. If I can get 17 games of Andrew Wiley and know that I can rely upon him in the run game and the screen game, and, like, just every week he's going to be there, and I can plan around him in a protection stuff, then fine. But I think if you can get I mean, nevertheless, a Penei Sewell or Lane Johnson, who just is a game changer out there. But, like, you just need some bigger dudes who create more movement in the run game and are more reliable and stouter in the pass game. And I think if you can get that at left guard and right tackle, and perhaps, who knows, maybe even Wiley moving into left guard and competing with someone else for that spot could be a solution, and Allegretti becomes your swing guy, which would be an upgrade over Dieter, then, that's a potential tenable solution as well. But, the reason I mention all this, though, is, yeah, they've won a bunch of games, but the stakes now become higher. Like, I think we can have two conversations at once. The playoffs and what it takes to win there versus the very best teams in the NFL is one discussion. What it's going to take to build this team over time into a legit Super Bowl contender where we should have a lot more grace and a lot more patience, I think that's a different conversation. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Marcus. Marcus, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Coffee, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, dude. Did you make the trip down yesterday and bring your phone and signal to people in the press box in Dallas? Probably not, because the press box is a lot higher in Dallas. Or you just save that for Landover?
No, I didn't, man. I didn't. I wish I would have. I'm saving it for Landover. It's crazy. Like, we were actually just about to get some flights down to Tampa, and then as I was checking out, said that no more seats are available. I was like, you know what? Maybe these are the football gods telling me that we're coming back to Landover, and then now I'll just get them when we get back to Landover.
Yeah, they're just going to host the Packers to the NFC Championship game. You worry about that in a couple weeks?
Yeah, that's where my focus
okay.
is.
I pick up what you're putting down, Marcus. What you got on this game / your Tell the Truth Monday?
So pretty much on the game and really over the season, we make a lot of comments about the defense in general, and it's always something. I feel like at this point, the defense is what it is. Very rarely are they really, really good or really great. And I look at the scores. Five times we gave up 30 points. And then I think one of those games we won, but all the other ones we lost. But we scored more than 30 or more for 8 games. And that just tells me that, again, the defense is just going to be what it is. We have to find ways to click on offense. Like, if the offense is firing, I hate to just brush the defense off, but I feel like if the offense is firing, keeping the opponent's offense off the field, I think we'll have a chance against anyone. And it's crazy, but, I mean, with the defense, 17 games, I mean, it's no lie. Like, it just is what it is at this point. We can say such and such needs to do better. This person needs to make a better read. Like, it just is what it is. I feel like to really make a deep dive, just this year, not even thinking long term, but just as far as this year goes, our offense needs to be on point at all times, at least for the next 3 to 4 games, for us to, you know, make it to those 3 to 4 games. So that's my Tell the Truth.
Marcus, I think that's really good. Thanks for the call, bro. Appreciate it. And I mostly agree with that. I do think the one chance, like, well, first of all, just the part that I agree with. A couple weeks ago, we were doing a pick six on a Thursday, which is the day that the coordinators speak. We play the sound bites from Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury. And Joe said something about how we need to be more consistent defensively. And I was like, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to nitpick here, and I'm going to say you don't need to be more consistent. You've been tremendously consistent. Just your consistency is fairly mediocre. You need to be better, and that means finishing some of these sacks as you get pressure in the backfield. You know, yesterday, one of the big plays, I can't remember if it was a big play or it was the one that I think it was the fourth down that Lance missed that should have been a big play for Dallas. Derek Forrest has him dead to rights in the backfield. Like, make the sack, man. Balls hit you in the hands. You got to pick those off. And so unless you're going to start doing that stuff consistently, that is a different level of consistency. That is being good consistently. You've been mediocre consistently. And you have to find ways to be better. I do think one of the ways you can be better, though, is you're actually getting a great player potentially back. Dan Quinn sounded fairly optimistic today with Marshawn Lattimore. If you're going to get Lattimore, that changes the entire dynamic of the defense. A true shutdown corner, if he plays at that level, changes everything. It changes the coverages you can call. It changes how you roll coverage to the other side. It obviously eliminates a potential weak point in the defense, if not two, because you go from two semi-exposed corners to one who's getting a ton of help and the other who's not exposed at all. Like, that's a big freaking deal. Not to mention it might give you a little bit more time to finish some of these sacks and all those kinds of things. So that would be the hope defensively. But largely, this is a defense that's given up between 20 and 30 points consistently all year, 20 and 35, let's say. And they play a lot better when they get support from their offense, because what defense doesn't? And that is going to be on the offense that has kind of been sputtering, and then they get started and roll for a little bit, and then it's back to sputtering here for a couple of weeks and just hasn't felt as consistent as it did earlier in the season. And frankly, you know, I don't know how much of this is correlation versus causation, he said, but since Noah Brown went out, like, that's been a big deal, because there's some of the, I know that he had drops and I know there's certain things he did, but he had drew a ton of PIs, which got a ton of chunk yardage, which extended drives and helped you get in scoring range. And he caught a lot of these third down, like, comebacks, hitches, slants, big body routes that haven't quite been as consistent. And certainly when Diami was out a couple weeks ago, like, that was killer having both those dudes out. But it is something they've got to kind of figure out, because the other thing with Jaden is I can tell who he I think we can all tell who he trusts and who he doesn't. And Noah was someone that he trusted. And some of this quick game stuff where you have to throw based off trust, it was another option where he could pick a matchup he liked and he would get the ball out versus holding on to it and then trying to scramble and instead running out of bounds for a sack of -4, which is a thing he did again on Sunday that I don't think I'll ever understand. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Tell the Truth Monday. Let's go to Doug in Leesburg. Doug, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Thanks for taking my call, Craig. Your contact keeps getting better and better, brother. Keep up
Appreciate
the good work,
that.
Man. Yeah, I thought Marcus came in and did well. I was always skeptical about Marcus at first when he first came based on the drama in Atlanta, but he's really been a nice mentor for Jaden, so I'm grateful for him. Like you were just talking about that defense, it is what it is. To me, you can't ask for them to rely on you from time to time, especially with these better teams. You're going to have to want to play more ahead or play more consistent in the game for the offense. And I wanted to go back to your point earlier in the show where you pointed out the inconsistencies of messaging between Dan and Jaden and how that injury went out. Mm-hmm. I thought this was the first time that we've heard on a Tell the Truth Monday where he didn't tell the truth. In my case, I think he lied to make it seem like Jaden was still wanting to be a competitor and could go out there. And him saying that he at any other week, it would be the same thing in the same instance, I truly do not believe that. I just think he wanted to be like that, so it didn't seem like he was giving up for a meaningless game in week 18, even though they didn't treat it as a meaningless game. So I think you did bring up a good point there. It's not like you didn't have to let them just sugarcoat over. I thought it was a good point to bring up. But yeah, that's my touch right there. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Doug. Great call on all fronts, and not just because you agree with me. I thought you brought up some good points on Marcus, and you know, I think it's big for people to be like, hey, you know what? I had questions. I remember Anthony. You remember we did a full-on football therapy session with Linnell because Linnell was freaking out that they signed Marcus Mariota.
Yep.
I just want to make sure we have that tape available if Linnell starts freaking out about anything that doesn't matter this coming offseason.
I'm pretty sure we do, but okay. a lot of his, I guess, fear and trepidation of the signing had to do with the quarterback series and, you know, what went on in Atlanta.
I think we don't know the whole story from a Netflix series from 2 years ago. God forbid. Maybe Brian Johnson, who was with him in Philadelphia last year, maybe he's got a better insight.
Uh-huh.
You think so, doctor? Yeah. It's Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show. Linnell's catching strays. What more could you want here on the Team 980? Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. What you got on a Tell the Truth Monday?
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I am scared. Nervous as far as Jaden goes. I'm not buying what you're saying that he's fine, that it's just a little soreness. I think it's more than that. And you know, in this quarterback-driven league, you need to be available. And I think he should have sat down. I think Mariota could have won that game anyway. And now, you know, as far as the seeding, you know, people say that, you know, well, it's best to get Tampa. Well, I think, in my opinion, it's, you know, it's pick your poison, because now it's 0-0. You're starting fresh, and the Rams are hot. You know, we can't overlook that. He still has enough in the tank. Quarterback winner. I take Sean McVay over Sirianni anytime. And for Baker, he's peaking at the right time, along with a future Hall of Famer receiver. And they're no joke. As far as Philly, if you think about it, yes, we would play them three times if we had lost. But then you have Jalen Hurts dealing with a concussion. I believe that he'd have to think twice running as much. And you got his backup with a broken rib. So they've been slowed down. And now the unknown is scaring me with Jaden. I think, you know, I'm thinking 2012, well, God forbid.
Yeah, we're going to just absolutely nix any 2012 talk in the bud, because Robert and Jaden could not be more different. And I do think, to the extent that, like, we have the PTSD of what happened with Robert and coaches not being honest and whatever, like, they're going to go through the process here, because they realize that the health of Jaden in the long term is the most important thing. And I actually think that's probably something that Dan had in his mind yesterday. Again, I don't think this all adds up. I think part of it that Dan doesn't want to say. Here's actually, the more I think about it and I fleshed out different parts of this, right, is that Dan doesn't like criticizing his own players, which is fine as long as he does it behind closed doors. But he'll say, we have to do this thing to the press, and then behind closed doors, he'll be like, John Allen, Daron Payne, Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler, you have to do this. Here's an example. Here's the tape. That can't happen. Like, he'll criticize guys or praise guys based off what actually happened on film. And I think part of the thing that he doesn't want to say out loud in the press, because of who he is and how positive he likes to keep things in terms of morale, and that the players trust him, that if they do something wrong, they're not going to get thrown under the bus in the media, is that he doesn't want to say that he didn't trust his own line yesterday. He didn't want to say, I don't know what Brandon Coleman's doing on this snap. I don't trust Michael Dieter to block Micah Parsons. And we're too close to the playoffs to let Jaden take a dumb shot. And we're just going to let Marcus go run around. Because, like, I've watched the tape. Jaden's legs looked fine to me. But with Marcus out there, like, it was a little bit different. He was a little bit more decisive. There was some of the veteranness that you saw. And he was just more accurate. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's like Jaden actually, as the game went, like, settled in okay from a decision-making standpoint. He just couldn't complete the throws. And so I don't know how much this really has to do with an injury. I definitely feel like Jaden might not have felt 100%. And I think that there was a risk because the O-line wasn't playing great ball. And that's kind of where I land on it. Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Speaking of Mike's on the phone, Michael Phillips joins us next for a Michael Monday. It's a Tell the Truth Monday. It's a Victory Monday. It's a Michael Monday. And then we're going to go around the NFL at 5:30, talk about the rest of the games. Although for some of the games, we're not really going to talk about the game. We'll talk about decisions that are made about head coaches, general managers, some of whom are going, some of whom are surprisingly staying. We'll get to it all at 5:30. Our pick six at 6:00. Well, we're loaded up on a Monday on the Team 980.